Hi, you're listening to Quality Time Broadcast.
I'm just going to do it one more time.
Quality Time, video games, all the girls, comedy and matches. Quality Time, video games, all the girls, comedy and matches.
Do Soul Man and then Soul Plane.
Mm. Ooh, Soul Man Plane.
Soul Plane Man. Yeah.
Soul Plane Man.
He was a carpenter by trade, and he had soul. Soul Plane Man.
He collects the soul of other people. I like it. We can make it a horror movie.
Why is he a carpenter?
I don't know.
Okay. He
like
used
a planer.
Planing.
Yeah, planer.
Oh,
I got it.
I see where you went there.
Yeah. Jeremy, I reach out to carpenters as
listen,
much as possible.
Sometimes when Jeremy talks, I immediately go, what the fuck is he talking about? That was one of those moments. He was right on that one.
Yeah,
he was making a pertinent point.
All right.
Sometimes he grows as a person every show, and I get very excited about it.
No, I'm just getting worse as a person.
Way to use your one moment when
we're not recording.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, welcome to Quality Time, everybody. We are back.
Yay.
And in full effect. And my name is Eric Woodworth. Thank you very much for joining us again on this wonderful evening, day, morning, whenever you're listening to the pod. Right. When you're not working, how about that?
Just good day to you, friend.
We know you're there.
Yeah.
We know you're just dicking around, fucking bullshitting.
Dick.
Say you're getting traffic updates, but we know what's happening. You're listening to some Quality Time,
knocking
right?
your dick around,
hell
whatever
yeah.
you do during the day, or
slamming your man parts just, back and forth.
Just stuff that you
even
like
if you're
to do.
A lady.
Where do you guys work? What does this happen at?
Where do you not? I mean, it was in my claws.
The Wang store? Where
flappy,
do you fucking work?
Flappy labia.
But that voice you hear to my left, the very sultry, the very lovely, Miss Kimberly Ambrose. Kimberly, how are you doing, ma'am?
Kind of. Well, we moved into the house.
Oh, big move.
Ah, we got furniture.
Oh,
fucking
my gosh.
Yeah.
What's it like to finally be part of the fucking system?
So good. It's so much better than 14-year-old me thought it would be. Mostly because of the hellacious trail of just tears and blood that it took to get here.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Ooh.
Oh.
You got a nice little beautiful house in Halthorp.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah,
the classic, let's have a baby, then get furniture moved.
Yeah.
I like that. That's,
yeah. You make a baby on old furniture, then you have a baby on new furniture.
Now.
That other voice you hear, I'm going to go out of order and give you our special guest for this evening. We're joined by Mr. Rob Mayer, everybody.
Yay.
Rob.
Pleasure to be here. I've already chimed in like seven times.
Yes.
I was premature.
No proper introduction.
So is he. That's why I'm pregnant.
Boom. I set you up. That's what happens.
Yeah. Anything we can do to steal more of the Rob and Joe Show listenership is what we're here to do at Quality Time.
Well, I'm here to out-download Joe Robinson's episode.
Joe's
that's all I care about.
Joe's a pretty highly downloaded episode. He's in the top three.
Yeah.
So
wow.
you got your work cut out for you. And
I want to get on that Mount Rushmore of Restivo chauffeur Robinson guests.
Yeah. It's hard. Restivo is such a catch, though. We need to get into Chris Restivo. But to my right, my blood, my brother, the man that you hear every week that drives you all insane, give it up for Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth. Jeremy, how are you?
Yeah. I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who's joining us on the show this evening?
Oh, my.
I was in the movie we were talking about tonight, and that's Ving Rhames.
That's spot on Ving Rhames.
Yes.
Wow.
Whoa, my gosh.
I'm going to send
Hold
in.
Hold on, let me
I'm
close my send, eyes while it happens.
I'm going to send in the wolf. You like that motherfucker?
That was perfect.
Yeah.
That was very good.
I've been working
on it
for weeks.
More of like a Green Mile situation.
Until
the end there.
Should I start crying?
Till the fucka. Then it got a little vingy. A little.
A little vingy.
Is it, guys, is it possible that maybe an impersonation is too good?
Yeah.
Is it?
It is.
Like well, at least we're both bald.
Like if Rob was like, I'm going to do an impression of Rob Mayer. Like that would be like. Too good.
It
probably.
Would be too good.
Yeah.
I've almost felt like we had Restivo on the show with that quality of an impression. You just did.
You give us your best Rob Mayer, Jeremy.
Hey, I'm Rob Mayer.
Oh my God. Wow.
Un-fucking
do I even need to be here? Can I leave now?
I feel
Rob,
like
we don't need you here anymore.
Why does Rob keep making those references that no one gets?
Oh man, that's so good. So we're very excited to be back. Thank you all of you quality timers that have been tuning in. Just a quick shout out. Hop on our iTunes, hop on our Stitcher. Make sure you give us a 5-star rating. If you do so, we'll read it on the show. We've almost got enough collected up that we'll do a special shout out episode coming up soon. So go ahead and get those 5-star ratings in so we can read it up. The thing is, some people have fun with it. They just write things like Ben Hancock, for instance, who wrote wrote about his podcast Laugh Finder the entire time. So
honestly,
I got nothing but Laugh Finder
good moves.
But
never heard of it.
Yeah. And then there's really cool people like Matt Cannon who do solid ones.
Love
and
him.
Do all their meme work. Big shout out to Matt Cannon this week. Very active over the last two episodes.
Let's not forget James Finn, who really liked People Under the Stairs because he's such a hateful racist.
Yeah, I knew it. He hate him.
He was funny. He was really going for the hateful people in the movie, so...
I see both sides.
When you think racism, think James Finn.
Does anybody have any fun stories we'd like to share before we get into tonight's topic, or are you just ready to jump right in?
Well, I was excited for this particular movie because this is Tawanda, my girlfriend's one of her favorites, actually.
Really?
This is it, huh?
Yeah, she has a list of movies that she'll go to sleep to, meaning she's seen it 1,000 times, so she won't get like totally involved in it. It'll just be sort of background. And this is one of them. And I told her about... I tried to get her to come on, actually, and then she said, no, why would I do that? And but we listened to the one with Joe, the Rocky IV one, so she could get a feel for it. And, like, a minute in, she's like, when are they going to talk about the movie? Because Jeremy kept talking, so I had to keep fast-forwarding.
It's impossible.
Right. But then Kim started speaking. She was like, oh, my God, Kim has a really great radio voice. And I was like, you're right. And then we both masturbated. So,
nice.
Good times.
Like, at each other? Or
well, I had to leave the room because she can't orgasm with me in the room, same room with her. But, so, I mean, we turned it up loud. And we were in different sections of the house. But
it's a problem we choose not to see as a problem.
Exactly.
It's fine.
Whatever. We made it work. So thank you.
Masturbate together.
Her orgasming with Rob in the room is like trying to get a tattoo in the back of a Jeep. It's just rough.
Ain't
it's
really
right.
Yeah.
It just doesn't always work out.
Give up before you start.
It's good. You know, me and Jeremy, we went to our grandma's funeral. That was a hoot. And
good segue from masturbating in a orgasming in the back of a Jeep.
We're in the Woodworth basement. Anything is possible. Yeah.
And finally, the song that Jeremy wrote about grandma dying is now actually really hurtful. Now, if you go back to the Christmas episode,
I don't think so because she made it way past Christmas. So.
That is true. She made it a really long time, and God bless her. But Jeremy definitely showed up at one time just wearing a knit cap but in a full suit.
Okay.
Full suit knit cap.
Did it match?
No.
It looked like
it was straight off of a hobo, but then he's wearing a suit. It was
or straight out of his closet.
Yes.
Yeah. Straight out of closet.
I feel like Jeremy could really ease into hobo life tomorrow he could wake up and you're like, I'm comfortable. I was born to live on the streets.
Pretty close to the real thing, by the way. Pretty close.
How's your house coming along, Jer?
I can't wait till the wife leaves me alone for a long time.
Yeah.
And I start digging holes in the wall.
Are you back on the dungeons? Stop making dungeons in your house.
Oh my gosh.
I don't think she's gonna leave you alone now after hearing that.
So. I don't know if you last episode, just to bring you up to speed, Rob, Jeremy, the first thing he talked about his new house is he's like, well, there's this place under the deck, and then I found this other place in the crawl space where if I dig it out, I can have a pretty sweet dungeon. This is the first thing he thinks about, not about let me set up the entertainment center.
I am living the dream.
Maybe I'll put a pool table. You know, the things that you really like, the amenities you want. He immediately thinks of about dungeons.
Is that an HGTV show?
That is so 70s.
How to build
dungeons now. I am a trendsetter for dungeon making. So.
I'm kind of intrigued, actually.
I'm wearing I'm wearing my dungeon master outfit, and I'm making rules in the basement by myself. You all will bow to me when I make my dungeons.
I would totally watch Dungeon Brothers.
Yes.
Dungeon Brothers.
So, because Jeremy, there's zero chance I would ever go to your house under any circumstance.
Sure.
But if you tell me you built your own dungeon, I might go now.
How about if I segue when I asked you, do you want to see who's in my dungeon?
I do.
See, that way you'd want to come over.
So. I like all right, it. Most yeah. likely person to be in Jeremy's dungeon. First of all, stranger or someone we know?
Somebody we know. He wouldn't go outside of that.
Oh, there's a lot of people I could put in my dungeon. Okay. A lot of people.
He's so confident about it, and that's what's fucked up. All right. It's not that he said it. It's the
he's
confidence.
Confident. He's thought about it. Yeah. Male or female? Oh, are we going male or female?
You know, for like people that you thought about like 30 years ago, you're still they're still no. right at the top of the list.
It's
so.
Definitely male. I guarantee he does. He'd love to. I'm going to go the top three picks.
Well, that, one more question: adult or child?
That's well, make that's it even darker. That's
it's adult.
One.
It's adult. Yeah, he
adult
jokes male. About children, but he knows he wants a full fleshy. So he goes. I think number one victim of Jeremy would be Chris Restivo.
Oh, strong.
No, I love Restivo.
I grew up in a funeral home, and I'm like, Jeremy's Steve-o. Fucked up.
Yeah. You've never you seen anything have, like this. Yeah.
Because you just can't get enough of his impersonations. You always want him on demand downstairs.
And no one reported him missing for like years. So you're saying Restivo number one of the top three yeah. most dungeon slaves of
I think
of Jeremy.
I think it's a fast food worker. It's someone he frequents that isn't quite good at their job.
Okay, I like that.
You know?
Someone he comes across
See,
in his
that's
weekly
logical
and
routine.
He's like, there's something about Tim that I want to pet his head while I'm twisting it off. You know?
Yeah,
just
I can
something
see
about
that.
Him.
He has this obsession.
Mm-hmm. He goes there once a week. Yeah.
Right, it builds and it finally builds. He breaks. No, yeah. that's probably the right yeah. answer, but I'm going to go Joe Robinson.
Okay. Joe Robinson's a good pick. Yeah. Joe Robinson's a good pick.
He at just, least you didn't say Justin Schlegel because I almost got him to the point where he'll actually talk to me like I'm a normal person.
The best
so.
Part,
almost.
The best part though is like the whole time Joe's there, he's just like, "Oh great, you got regular metal shackles." It's real good. Like, he went with metal shackles, real original. I'm glad you're a real trendsetter.
What section of IKEA do these come from, fuck ass?
I suppose your leather mask with the zipper over the mouth. I can't recognize your fatness, so.
I'm glad you decided to go not latex on this mask. You went leather. That's good. That's a good choice. It's a real classic.
Creative.
So that's good. All right, Jeremy, what are your actual picks? Who do we have?
I don't want to actually say, but I'll just say one of my.
It makes me so uncomfortable that
it's too incriminating.
Say.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't. You never let people know. I mean, come on, that's stupid.
Okay.
One of my former bosses.
So. Oh, a former boss.
Out of the 10 I've had, so.
Or your former boss? I bet you I know exactly who it is. I know who it is. Probably. I'm going to go with, is it a former Colts member? Isn't that who it is?
Maybe. Colt okay. member?
Maybe.
Yeah.
A
oh,
member of
you?
The Baltimore
yeah.
Colts. A member okay. of the Baltimore
might be,
Colts.
Might be his son.
His son, yeah. So you,
but I'm not saying who it is.
No, that'd be hard to track down. So,
I know who it is 100%. Why yes. are we not? Why are we skirting around this issue? You had an issue with Andy.
Well, now
Nelson's
that you called
son.
Him out, then it can't be my top of my list.
Well, mm-hmm. then I'm saving a life right now. Is the most important night.
You just saved John Harbaugh's son's life.
Thank God.
So. No, so Jeremy used to work for Andy Nelson's Pit yes. Beef Barbecue yes. place,
oh.
and he was a toucher. And his son Junior was a toucher.
So yeah, so yeah. he got molested.
I just got touched by a man on a regular basis. So
what was this like? Friendly butt taps or what? Kind
more
explain?
Like a, more like a friendly slide.
Oh, slide underneath the under yeah. between pant solid
as much as he could get
some quality Whoa. Time. Get it?
Wow! I bet you guys didn't realize that Jeremy was also part of the Me Too movement. So,
no, I think we realized. We just didn't want to think about it.
I don't know if you guys realize, but this guy who dresses up as a rape murder clown.
I don't know where it came
victim.
From. I don't know where it came from.
Weird.
So.
When I was... Now, Jeremy, I've had a very similar thing growing up where I had my good friend who I won't name drop because we've been very estranged for a long time. But when I was in about middle school, we used to do things as regular boys do, you know. Throw
rape,
rocks.
Rape people with brooms.
Rape people with brooms. You know, the regular things.
Build Lego towers, whatever you're into.
I'm a very large guy, so I was a lot bigger than my friend. And one day, we got into a wrestling skirmish, because, you know, you go out and wrestle. And his way of getting me off...
No pun intended.
I was laying on top of him, physically laying on top of him. The only thing
he
found
in your ass?
That he could get me off. No, he slid all of his fingers into my ass like this and
nice.
Started like salmoning.
Okay,
and
this,
started pleasing you
like this.
Just say it.
Right.
Just say
the rectum.
And I immediately got up. I was like, what the fuck?
So, lesson of the story, it worked. Right.
And then he looked at me and just was dusting himself off. He goes, it was effective, wasn't it? I was like, what?
Yeah, it's usually is.
And it
he's not wrong.
It effectively ended our friendship.
If
day.
Only if only black if only black people could do that to police bullets.
Yeah, so that'd be
we've covered a lot in the 8 minutes of this episode so far.
Welcome,
so
we've gone from, welcome to Quality Time.
So we've gone from grandma dying to being molested. So.
There you go. Well, all right.
And to saving black lives.
And vengeance. Yes.
So important.
Would you like to save your best molest story?
Oh, boy. There's so many to pick from.
Women are always molested.
I'll save it for Christmas. I'll save it for Christmas.
Cool. Well, I think we should just go ahead and hop right into it. Tonight, we are going over the 1997... I'll call it a classic.
Sure.
That's
call it
fair.
Is it fair to call it a classic?
I feel like the title is synonymous with classic.
Yeah. And this is Nicolas Cage, John Malkovich, and John Cusack in Con Air.
Oh, it's so much more than that, though.
Is it much more than that?
Yes. Is
it so much more?
Ving Rhames, Danny Trejo, Dave Chappelle.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Come at me, motherfucker. This is like star-studded.
Did you say Steve Buscemi yet?
Steve Buscemi. Yeah. Yes.
It is quite the star-studded cast. It's almost amazing how such a mediocre film was made. With the fixins that they have.
Almost amazing.
I think the real question is, with this cast that you just named, is this the worst movie they could possibly make or the best movie that this collection could make?
That's a good question.
It's a weird... You could go either way.
Yeah. Let's also not forget some of the other ones. We got Danny Trejo.
She said that.
Well, I like it better when it's coming from a male
person. It's more believable. I didn't even believe it, Kim.
Based on that last story you told, I'm not surprised.
It's got a four-finger cast.
Yeah. And then the little girl in it actually is super hot now. Monica Potter.
No, that's the mother.
Is this? Oh, you're right.
That's she's the mother.
Where's the
Landry
kid?
Albright. Look at her now. The daughter.
Oh, dang. Hey, girl.
This is good. Check this out.
Yeah. This is good audio. Landry Albright.
Even her name is sexy.
She actually looks like a Nicolas Cage, a female version.
You're one U off of Laundry.
I was trying to figure out if this was the death of John Cusack's career.
Or the start of it.
I feel like
better off dead.
He had that cool movie in the motel after this. That was like early 2000s.
The horror movie thing.
Yeah, with the fat guy psychopath.
I can't remember
what that was called, but that was a cool movie.
I think it was called Motel Hell.
And he was also in the movie Frozen Ground, which also has Nicolas Cage.
Oh my
God. Ever seen on Frozen Ground?
Have I also seen another Nicolas Cage movie? No, I haven't.
People talk about these 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, but you could do 2 degrees of Con Air.
Yeah, I mean, there's absolutely everybody's this very, very close to Con Air, right?
It's like a balancing act because on the one hand, you have to sit through Nicolas Cage. But on the other hand, you get John Malkovich.
Yes.
But then right in the middle, you fucking have John Cusack. Now, I don't know how you feel about him. I feel like this is something that could have a mixture of emotions, but whenever I see him, and when is the last time you heard somebody called this? I always think the word pissant.
I see that.
You know what I mean? He's kind of dweeby. Like, even in action movies, like when he ran into like that airplane hangar, he did like a wussy run.
Very wussy. Very, you know? You're not a U.S. Marshal.
Yeah, you're not a U.S. Marshal. Like, if someone handed him a gun, he'd hold it like it stunk. Like, oh.
Yeah, he's a guy named Marshall, not a U.S. Marshal.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the greatest actor in the film is the teleporter chief from Star Trek Next Generation as the bad guy cop. So
good one.
Thank you.
So
for that. Thank
do you,
you
think because the voice that Nick Cage is using in this one, I feel like he started this voice, and then he realized that it's horrible. And they're like, we've already shot 10 minutes, so you just have to see it through at this point.
I feel like they had to add in the line about his baby to be being Miss Alabama because no one said anything about him being Southern until he started doing that accent.
Right.
They were why are you doing this?
I saw him as a Southern gentleman, which is funny. Just give you guys a little taste that maybe you just to refresh your memory of Con Air. Here's a little snippet of the accent that we're talking
snidbit.
About.
What the hell you think you're doing?
It's time to off the pigs.
You can't do that.
So why the fuck you can't? But the fact of the matter is, how well you know this Sandino? I mean, I don't know him that well myself, just what I read. Like how he firebombed that senator's yacht with two of his own cousins on board.
Wait, what?
So what's your point?
Why would he sweat about killing some hired guns once they'd served his purpose? Now think about that.
Cyrus, this is your barbecue, man, and it tastes good.
But I was just saying to Mr. Dog over here that if it was my barbecue, I'd wait for that old jumbo jet in the sky.
Shut the fuck up.
That was, all right, that line right there was Nicolas Cage was just like, just follow my lead. I'm going to maybe do something.
Okay,
this is your barbecue. It's in my
notes. It's in my notes. This is your barbecue and it tastes good. It's a pretty good line.
It's a pretty good line.
Okay, you're the casting director for this film. Who do you cast for this character?
I don't know. Gee, anybody?
Anybody except Nicolas Cage. The first thing that comes to mind is Patrick Swayze.
Yeah,
and
McConaughey. McConaughey.
This is like Roadhouse Part 2 in the sky.
Well, I've said this before, and I don't know if I've said this on the pod, but there's no... nobody's ever sat down and just read something, right? Mm-hmm. Like a book, a script, and be like, man, this is good, but... I think it would be better if we had Nicolas Cage. Nobody's ever sat down and like, this is clearly a Nicolas Cage role.
You messed up your own joke.
If you had to replace one of the actors in this movie, it had to have him play the Nick Cage role, who would you pick? So you're swapping characters here.
God, so there's
this is so fucking easy.
I think a Keanu Reeves would have
No. Front Someone in this movie.
Oh, in this movie.
Yes.
Okay, within the film.
Yes.
Okay. Man, Danny Trejo would be great. Danny Trejo is the lead.
I didn't understand the question. I was going to say Chuck Norris every time.
In this movie, Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle. Yeah.
What the fuck, man? We got to get over here. And he knows karate.
Right.
And every time he hits somebody, he's like, ah! It would be good.
I like to think that they went through this fucking list and then they finally did Nicolas Cage, who was actually supposed to be the actual character of Nicolas Cage. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Stallone, Bruce Willis, Kurt Russell, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Kurt Russell's a good one. Yeah. Kurt Russell would have been great.
Steven Seagal, Dolph Lundgren, Johnny Depp, William Baldwin, Stephen Baldwin, Keanu Reeves,
my God.
Brad Pitt, and Tom Cruise.
You get the Bruce Willis vibe with he's trapped on a plane. It's very diehard like almost.
Definitely.
Gosh.
There's a lot of wife beaters going on.
Yeah.
This was years before Snakes on a Plane.
Well, we've tried out all these actors. Yeah. Who's left? Nicolas Cage. So.
Well, the movie opens up and we get to see the Army Rangers getting a special speech from their sergeant. It's kind of pseudo-inspirational. Very...
half Patton.
Yeah, it's a little Patton-y.
I cried.
This guy's trying.
I cried.
And we see...
I masturbated.
We see the only time that Nick Cage is handsome in this movie because he's very clean cut, just getting discharged. Mm-hmm. And he heads to the local bar where he meets up with his bae. Mm. And bae is also with Babe. So... You find out she's pregnant. They're trying to have a fun time, and a drunk dude comes over and immediately just shits on him in front of his wife, which is, I don't know how you've ever been drunk at a bar in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I was alive in the 90s. We didn't like shit on veterans. Like, veterans were very highly revered in the 90s.
This it was aggressive.
This
is like First Blood Part 2.
Yeah, he immediately comes over and just like, hey, maybe she should be with a real man. I'm like, you? In the fishing hat? Like, this guy is the one who's gonna, he's on the way to steal your girl? And he gets very angry, and rightfully so, but decides to have a wonderful night. Things escalate though later in the parking lot because the guys are waiting for him, and we quickly find out that Nicolas Cage is a goddamn killing machine.
Yeah.
Cameron Poe is a killing machine.
But the other guy he pulled the knife out.
He did pull the knife, but he doesn't use the knife and kill him with the knife. He hits him with like a fist palm that like breaks his nose and like severs his brain.
Defending himself.
Which is just like, how badass is it that he can do the kung fu punch that's never killed anybody? It's broken noses. Don't get me
wrong. He's a military man. He's about to be a father of one, and he will break your nose, ladies and gentlemen. Nicolas Cage.
I hate to say that
The Bachelor.
Yeah.
I hate to say that he really was made for this part to a degree because of Wild at Heart, where he plays almost the same character, an Elvis type that kills somebody, goes to jail, and has to be The similarities are disgusting.
It's the same movie, really.
Yes, Wild at
Dave
Heart.
Chappelle's in both.
David Lynch, this director, they're the same. So,
but did you hear what the judge says when he sentences him?
Yes.
Yeah, he says you're a deadly machine. Or right. Deadly weapon.
It's not a real thing.
No.
Like, you can't defend yourself because you're strong. Like, yeah. You just...
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Well, it's because he's an Army Ranger. He can't... I also like...
Take this, Ghost Rider.
This goes right into a montage after he gets arrested that night of him sitting with his lawyer. And the lawyer's already given up on anything.
Other yeah.
Like, you got to cop a plea. You'll only do 5 years. Immediately, next is like, I sentence you to 7 to 10 years. Like, he went from being so fucked, like, instantly in the beginning.
And how is his lawyer giving up so easy? Like, yeah. He's defending himself. His woman is with him. They're at a bar. He has military training. He was outnumbered. Like, isn't that's an easy yeah. fight, kind
this,
of.
This is the next season of Serial, this case.
Yeah.
They're like decorated war veteran yeah. versus this drunk guy in a bar. There's 1,000 witnesses. It's the other guy's knife. It's his fingerprint is all over it. And it's just like, they just, okay. Why would you, by the way, plead to 5 when yeah. when 7 to 10 is what you're going to get? Like, you wouldn't right. go for 0?
Right, right.
Makes sense.
It's retarded. Yeah. There's no...
Now, my favorite part of the movie, unfortunately for me, happens super early on. It's right when he walks into the bar, his woman turns, sees him, and they kind of do this like hold camera on Nicolas Cage's face while a very famous song starts playing. Is it possible we can pull that up
great,
even?
Don't they play it at the end of the movie
it's
too?
It's so yeah. goddamn funny. Like the way it plays out. Like yeah. it's just like you see Nicolas Cage for like the first moment and this song hits and it's like, Jesus Christ, there's no holds barred in how wet they're attempting to make you.
They are such a romantic couple. They're so in love, Kim.
Yeah, ugh, gross.
This yeah. right here. Yeah.
He looks like such a are young 35-year-old the bar scene?
The bar scene, okay, yeah, yes, with the song in it. Yeah.
I got it. So yes, as he's dancing in the bar with his lady, they immediately play this right here.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What kind of life would that be? Oh, I
need you. 97. I was 10 years old.
This was a lot of wedding songs.
Yes. Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah. Oh, if you don't think this song got sung a million times in my fucking shower, you're out of your mind.
100%.
How do I live without you? So, yeah, I'm a dude. I was wet.
Wet
yeah.
as hell.
I was real wet. Yeah. I was man wet.
That
down
Shania
there.
Twain is a great singer.
Can we work that into the murder mystery? You singing a little Trisha Yearwood?
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, I think we can
it's
work
so
it.
Powerful.
We could slide that in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely, how can I live with that? Can I sing it to a cupcake?
Yes. Yes, you can.
To a Cold Stone Creamery bowl.
Are you going to wear the white t-shirt tied with the booby shows in your belly showing? Yes. On?
How can I live without there you? Is... What kind of life would that even be?
Well, you're about to find out for 7 to 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it immediately then rolls the opening credits. It's Con Air comes up across the screen. It's big. It's budgety. We're having fun.
We have fun.
There's then a serving time montage that plays where he sits there. Things he does during this montage. He learns Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
He learns origami. Mm-hmm. He reads lots of letters between him, his wife, and his estranged daughter, who he's never met, because he refuses to have his daughter meet him in prison. So he's serving his whole sentence just being... He's just like, my daughter can't see me here, so I just respond.
What is the music being played during this jail scene of him in jail?
I
don't know. I'm not going to play montage.
It's just being instrumental.
Why can't he see the baby? Why can't he see the daughter as a baby?
Right.
She's not going to remember.
She's not going to remember that.
Right.
Yeah.
I like how
they kept doing the, what's her name? Casey? He's like, dear Casey.
My dear Casey.
And then she's like, dear dad. And at one point, the message part gets shorter and shorter. So she's like, dear dad, am I ever going to see you? Dear Casey, I'm trying my best to get out. I wish it would have kept going like, dear dad. But it like seriously sucks. I don't have a male father figure in my life during the developmental part of my growing up. Dear Casey, you really need to get off my fucking back. Trying my best. Dear dad, okay, sorry. Dear Casey, can't wait till text messaging exists. Like,
yeah, dear Casey, see last letter.
Yeah, it's just an arrow.
But I felt like this whole movie, he doesn't really want to be a father. Because like he could have just gotten that car and drove off. But he's like, you know what, my wife's pregnant. Mm. Maybe I can mix
things
up a little
bit. You're right,
it's
like a subconscious thing.
Right.
Yeah. I've been waiting 6 years to finally meet my daughter. But I need to do kung fu on top of a fire engine. Is that, honey? Please, I gotta do karate on top of a fire engine. If that's okay.
At every chance to delay actually seeing her, he does it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the gift of being a father. Is that's what we always have something. We have to save the world.
Dear
right?
Casey, second thought, I don't think I'm ready yet.
Dear Casey, I befriended the white gorilla group within here, and I've decided to stay for another tour.
I did have to stab
a man. You're in prison. He's like, yes, I'm going for another 4-year tour.
I've re-enlisted in cell block 4.
So we also find that he befriends a Bubba from the Forrest Gump
movie.
That's
another one, yeah.
Who is played by McKelty Williamson. He plays Baby O.
I always think of how far his lower lip came out when he was dying in Forrest Gump.
Isn't
he's
it
like,
so
Forrest,
sad?
Am I going to get out of here? I was like, I can't take it.
How many people think this is his best role?
He did Forrest Gump, and then he was just like, yeah, but you're familiar with my work in Con Air. I really felt I took the Bubba character to the next level.
A real passion project.
Do you think that's what Nicolas Cage is doing? He was trying to steal the accent from him.
I think he was.
It's mine.
Damn it.
Yeah.
And now Back to the Future is okay, but I like Doc Hollywood a lot better.
After this brief montage, we then get the synopsis of this plane, which is called the Jailbird. Which is, first of all,
clever.
This is the Alabama Correctional Facility.
You guys,
one of the poorest states in the South, has an airline that they run, and out of an old DC fucking, basically the plane that Baloo flew in Tailspin is what we're gonna transport these prisoners on. And well, you know what? Why not do one or two? No, we're gonna pack it with the most dangerous people all at once.
They keep upping the ante on how dangerous each criminal is. It's like, and then when they land in Carson City and there's like literally like 30 corrections officers suited up, the first thing I thought was they can't afford all of them.
Get
the fuck out of here.
And they obviously gave them notice, as opposed to, because they did all this planning, the bad guys,
right?
As opposed to just saying, oh, by the way, at noon today, you're on a plane to another place. So you what? I have no, I can't plan anything. No, in 7 months, you're doing this. So here's the date. Lock it in. Figure it out.
I wish on the plane it would have been painted like in World War II, how they had the pinup girls, but instead it was like a large black guy who was like somebody's bitch, like, ooh, like bent over sideways, little shorts cut off.
Yeah.
Cute.
My favorite has to be the prisoner who's transported in the single van with the single seat that has the seat come out like a transformer just to put him.
Well, that's later in the movie. That's Steve Buscemi.
Please, let's not skip ahead.
Way to ruin it.
So, here we meet Larkin, who's John Cusack's character, and we also meet Duncan Malloy, played by Colm Meaney Star Trek The Next Generation.
Transporter Chief.
Yeah.
And what they do with that guy's character is the classic, how do we let you know he's a douchebag? He's in a sports car, and then he parks in the handicapped parking spot.
What a fucking dick.
What an asshole.
Already established that he's a dick before he's even opened his mouth.
Right.
I don't like this guy.
The character development of Die Laughing Productions production.
Pretty much.
That simple.
My other favorite role has to be the father in The Commitments. So,
all right.
Okay.
You've done your research.
Exactly.
You
have committed to this.
We also learned that there's going to be a undercover U.S. Marshal who's posing as a prisoner on the flight, in addition to all the other security.
Yeah. I mean, he's DEA. DEA.
Yeah. Oh, he's DEA. I'm sorry. Yes, he's DEA. And they start sitting down and saying that there's not going to be any guns on the flight. They're really saying, no guns on the flight. And he goes, I'm not sending my man up there.
Yeah.
And like, okay, he concedes. But that'll come back into play very soon.
Right. That guy was too pretty, I thought. The undercover guy?
Yeah. Yeah. He looked kind of like the guy who sang Taka, or what's that song called? Rico Suave from the 90s.
Otherwise known as Taco. The Taco song. Yeah. He did look like that guy. Yeah.
We prefer Taco Grande by Weird Al Yankovic.
That's where my head went. I was going to say Taco Grande.
Do you remember in Team America World Police when they tried to disguise him as Muslim? And they just put like brown cotton balls of patchy all over his face and they're like, it's uncanny. Like, that's what I picture.
You're Spanish now.
So I'll give you a list of the rundown of these bad badasses on the plane. First is Billy Bedlam. He's a mass murderer. Caught his wife in bed with another man, killed them both, then went to her family's house, killed all of them, and then that wasn't enough. Just to add the extra thing, and he killed the
dog. And the dog.
Oh, what is this, Bedlam?
Yeah.
Well, he had to, right? Because half the people in the audience are like, oh, I'd do the same thing.
Right.
You caught him in bed with you. But right. then they add that in. They're like, and he murdered the dog. And you picture a golden retriever. You're like, no!
We get it. It's the Shawshank Redemption. Okay.
I bet he double parks, too.
He got 10 years for the... he got 10 years for the family. Life for the dog.
Yeah. You're back. He's back.
Woo! Jerry's all back.
And you're on for 3 more episodes now.
The judge was a dog.
Next is Nathan Jones, played by Ving Rhames, a.k.a. Diamond Dog.
Does anyone else get really excited when they see Ving Rhames? I fucking love him.
He's in a lot of bad movies too.
He's
a lot of B-rated movies.
But he always takes it so serious that he's like the only person that, like, okay, the Dawn of the Dead remake.
Yeah, it's great.
Like when he is talking to Mekhi Phifer, you're like, Mekhi, go back to 8 Mile. Shut the fuck up.
We've had enough.
But then Ving Rhames is like, I'm just trying to get back to my daughter, and you're like, oh my god, I believe you. Like, oh, I love him.
He is really good. I feel like he is, if Samuel L. Jackson didn't exist, we'd have Ving Rhames all the time.
So hard.
Instead.
Yeah.
Like, but instead,
it is the coolest name ever. Ving Rhames.
Can you imagine Pulp Fiction, like, but with Ving Rhames with that Jerry curl? Like, and you will know my name is the Lord.
Yes.
Powerful stuff.
I love the fact that he got his soul back from being stolen out of the back of his neck and he put a Band-Aid over it.
So. Yeah.
Me too.
Because Ving Rhames is great. In Pulp Fiction as Marcellus Wallace.
Yes. So it's like, yes.
But he can play both black characters.
Yes.
Did you know who was supposed to play Ving Rhames?
Nicolas Cage.
Sid Haig.
Sid Haig. He doesn't know who that
is.
You don't know who Sid Haig is?
Nope.
That would have been amazing, actually.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man.
But I wouldn't have believed he had a wife, though.
Yeah.
Gosh, but, Rob, what have you been doing? Having sex with women and not knowing what Sid Haig is?
Actually, no.
Actually, like, having a career?
Do you know what he did, though? I like that the Ving Rhames character, his name is like the, he's in like the Black Gorillas or some sort of
Black
like Black Panther takeoff. But he bombed an NRA like building or something. Like, he would be a hero today. Like, he would be like the most popular guy in the world.
Yeah, I feel
Black Gorillas bombed the NRA, yes.
The note I have for him is he's the leader of the Black Gorillas. He blew up an NRA meeting and wrote a book called The Diamond Eye, which is a critically acclaimed book that has now awakened the black community.
Yeah.
Right, he's a hero.
Him. And they're writing
a Dawood Shabazz.
Yeah, they're writing a movie. They're writing a movie about him, and they're considering Denzel Washington to play the role.
Oh my god.
Which is just
what if he fucked up and blew up an NPR meeting?
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's
he got the letters wrong.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Dawood Shabazz is the black NRA and I love him, so
he destroyed the show. Wait, don't tell me.
when he actually takes pictures of his gun and puts it on Facebook.
But he had that moment with the two twins where he's like, I'm the good twin. No, I'm the evil, he's the good twin, I'm the bad twin. And he didn't know what to do. They were the only two that survived.
I would take two Ving Rhames.
So next we meet Cyrus the Virus, played by critically acclaimed actor John Malkovich. He's done it all.
He's
the poster child for the criminally insane. Murder, extortion, robbery. He's killed 11 inmates, escaped multiple times, and started 4 riots.
Whoa.
Let's put him on the plane with everybody else. Yeah.
Pick him up.
Does anybody else think of John Malkovich as one of the greatest retard actors of all time?
Is he one of the greatest retard actors?
With him and Sinise on Mice and Men.
So. I'm not familiar with it, but I'm sure there's a deep
cut. You
could
make an argument for that. Sure.
You just, there's 2% of our audience that loved what you just said there, and that's what we go for.
And she's a woman, so I don't even count.
I threw out the R word just to be funny. So.
We also meet Pinball Parker, played by Dave Chappelle, who is already just hilarious.
Love him.
He's very good in it, actually.
Yes.
He should do more movies. I don't know. Maybe we should talk to him.
Agreed.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I feel like he's struggling.
Did anybody see him on Riding with Norman Reedus?
With coffee? Oh, that's the Seinfeld show.
And the funniest part...
Damn it.
So they're sitting in this control room watching everybody come off, and immediately they bring off Cameron Poe, Nicolas Cage's character, and they're like, who's that? oh, he's no one. They have information on everybody. Right, they don't know that he's an Army Ranger. They don't know anything about him. They're like, let him on the plane. And not a big deal.
So Ving Rhames and John Malkovich, they have in separate 360-degree one-person cages.
Yes.
Everybody else, they have, like, in bus-style seating, mm-hmm. like, shackled to their ankles, like, their feet, you know, or wrists are shackled and connected to the ankles. I love how even in an Alabama tin can fucking flight, they have business class seating and people better than you seating.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean,
Normal murder seating, rape seating, and then super rape and super murder rape seating. So.
By the way, me and Rob have flown internationally over the last couple of years. We've gone all
over
the world.
We've been in all those seats. Yeah.
This is a much nicer flight than I've ever been on. I swear to God. I was like, I would take the cage seat. You don't have to touch anybody.
So
Are
much more leg
me?
Room. I saw, like, the leg room and I was pissed.
You could get comfortable.
Yeah. They had super wide seats. They were like two-man seats.
Can I go out on a limb and ask what Dan Knighting's seating looks like?
Dan Knighting is actually in like the gunner position underneath, firing Teslas at people as they fly over.
So Kim, and I'm forgetting, but you're saying that both Ving Rhames and Malkovich had the same sort of cage situation?
Yeah.
So Malkovich killed like 1,000 people, started 4 riots, and he like wrote a book and bombed the building, and like they're in the same level of like terror.
Because he's black.
Because he's black.
And his arms are like, ugh.
And the other person who's in the cage is the other guy, Billy Bedlam, the white dude, who just murdered a couple people.
The dog killer?
He had a dog.
He had a murder of like a crime of passion murder.
Yes.
And then he's at the same level as them too.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
What a monster.
The police lay down the rules, and boy, are they dicks about it. Yes. They basically say, you fuck up on this thing, you get bagged. And sure enough, somebody has to go ahead and mouth off, and immediately they fucking throw a black bag over his head, tape him up, and then gagged and bagged. So,
but didn't Nick Cage talk shit about his picture with the one cop?
There is a moment there. He
like
says,
he's constantly being a dick. Just you're going home. Just shut up.
Yeah. It's your last day. He's like, you can't take this picture. I'm like, why can't I take a picture?
You're about to see her. Who gives a fuck about the picture?
That's my only picture of my daughter, and this might be my last flight alive. And I'll need to look at that seconds before this crashes into the side of a building. It was pre 9/11.
What if the picture was just of the back of his own hair? And he was like, no, I'm keeping that.
This is another moment where Bruce Willis would have sold it. Nicolas Cage fails.
Right.
So.
Yeah, you're right.
By the way, how great would it be to put Bruce Willis in this movie and see him with a full head of long hair?
Oh, wait, I think I can do it. Wait, Bruce Willis, if it was Bruce Willis, he'd be like, I'm going to get that picture back.
It'd be
like a whisper, like a grunt whisper.
I'd like to think that the director, after filming the entire movie, like, we can CGI another actor on Nicolas Cage through the entire movie and just redo the whole thing. So
what, you trip, fell, landed on my picture? Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Get your hands off that bunny. Yippee-ki-yay.
So good. So Cyrus has a brief interaction with the inmate in front of him on the plane, who we find out is Johnny 23, a.k.a. Danny Trejo.
This got me thinking, if you allow me to interrupt it, because he raped 23 women. So then I thought, what about Johnny 5 in Short Circuit? Did he rape 5 robots?
He started with a toaster, went to a VCR. Soon I will rape a supercomputer. Are you a fan of Chappie, though? And DeAntvoort?
No, he doesn't know what you're talking about again.
Okay. Oh, gosh, please show him a DeAntvoort video tonight.
We will.
Please.
I made a rape joke for you, just be happy with that.
Yeah, I love you.
I don't like how quickly you're getting off the rape topic, Jeremy. This is very not like you.
You haven't made a rape joke in 5 minutes.
So you find out that he's raped 23 women. That's what they call him, Johnny 23. Only the ones that he's been caught. And he has a rose tattoo for each one of his rapes.
Know of.
Which makes it real easy for him to be found. Elisa, 12-3-87.
Can I say the last time that I was right next to Danny Trejo with a fan, I said to the fan, ask him to say his one line from The Hidden. And in The Hidden, he's in a jail cell. The only thing he says in the entire movie is, fuck you, man! So,
oh, good.
And he got a little
I have a signed autograph from Danny Trejo. I walked up to him at horror convention. It was right after
Monster Mania.
Yeah, it was right after they had done Devil's Rejects. And I walked up and had a DVD copy of Once Upon a Time in Mexico. And he turned around and he did the exact same thing Lloyd Kaufman did when he saw me. His eyes lit up. And he was like, oh, a tiny blonde white girl. Oh, my God, what are you doing here? And I gave him my DVD, and he signed it. And then I gave him my picture. He didn't charge me. He signed it. It says, to Kim, there's hearts, multiple hearts over the eye. It says, I love you, Danny Trejo. It's fucking beautiful.
The heart's
pretty bad. It's fucking beautiful.
The heart signifying he wants to rape you.
It's 23 hearts, actually.
I have a game-worn Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls jersey signed by Danny Trejo saying, Johnny 23, air rape.
Air rape.
So beat that.
It's like in Step Brothers when he got Randy Jackson to sign his samurai sword.
I'll call that out of Camden Yards.
But by the way, like, all right, out of all like the crimes that there are in the world, whether you're a murderer, robber, drug trafficker, whatever you're in there for, you're usually like, rape is usually a frowned upon like act. Like, rapists usually aren't treated very nicely in prison.
Yeah.
This motherfucker is brazen about how he just rapes all the time. He's like, I'm a professional rapist. I knew it right when I started. And I was like, man, I got to rape for the rest of my life. And like, he's made a life decision to just be like, I rape and that's what I do.
He goes so far. He goes so far as when Nicolas Cage stops him to go, do you know what I am? Don't you know what I am? I'm a raper. It's what I do.
You know, that guy's a real rapist in this movie. What if he rapes that woman later in the film? I wonder if that happens.
You know, as you find out, he's actually a third generation raper. And it's in his family. He's
it's a tradition.
He comes from a long line of rapists.
Yeah, my dad, Johnny 15, who have taken the legacy much further.
Rape does not skip a generation.
At 15, I thought, I was like, oh, I'll never get that done. And now it's like, it's easier than I thought.
So
I'm going to guess later in Danny Trejo's career, it's like, we need a rapist in this film. Do you think you can play a rapist? Like,
do you know anybody? Do you know anybody with a large woman tattooed on their chest? I do.
Could you pick the most unfuckable person for this role either? Like, yes. Yeah. I think that's what makes it scary. He's a very ugly man.
There's some sexuality there.
Well, I'm sure he fucks. Like,
machete?
Don't get me wrong.
You haven't jerked off the machete?
Oh, I love it. But
and Lindsay Lohan.
Let's face it, he has a prison face.
Yes. That's probably because he spent 10 years in a Mexican prison in real life.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Now
gosh.
Cyrus tells him that he doesn't care for rapists, and that he falls somewhere between cockroach and the white stuff that forms but at the corner of your mouth.
Ugh.
And that pretty much ends his little fun conversation with him. We also see that Cyrus and Ving Rhames' character, Diamond Dog, they start slipping a pin from underneath the palm of their skin.
Owie.
So they've shoved basically a lockpick into their own skin, and now they're pulling it out.
I wish when Ving Rhames pulled his out, he's so hardcore it broke.
Yes.
Like, his skin's just too tough.
Yeah, I would imagine that he's a good, tough exterior. Now, while this is happening, Pinball, a.k.a. Dave Chappelle, coughs up a small vial and then opens it and then squirts the guy next to him. And he goes, I'm sorry, man. And he lights this poor Native American guy on fire. So now there's a fire on the plane. Both of them are getting, the other two guys are getting free. Ving Rhames gets loose and takes on like four guards and immediately gets shock batoned by like four people at once. And by the way, he's holding his own still. He's just like, oh yeah.
And wasn't it weird how the Native American guy got up and was just screaming, juicy fruit, juicy fruit.
Yeah.
That's a One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest joke, you guys.
Thank you
what
for
if
that.
They were
I pulled
just
a Jeremy.
Like,
thank you for that.
What if they were just like, I mean, this guy's a murderer. Just let him burn to death.
Yeah.
They just did nothing.
They're like,
oh no.
Great. Again.
Fire.
Then the movie's over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pinball is able during all of this madness to hit the release button for the to get
he was
John
the
Milk
key element
out.
To this whole plan.
Yes.
Yeah,
he had the hardest job.
Yes.
Yeah, he lit somebody on fire. Ving Rhames got loose and caused an extra distraction, and he's able to release John Malkovich, who then gets access to the co-pilots who By the way, no guns on the plane. We know of two guns on the plane right now. One, the co-pilots are fucking strapped with heat, okay, in a special lockbox. They hear the commotion. He starts to take it out. We also have neglected to mention that as the DEA agent was getting loaded up, old Duncan fucking slipped a fucking 9mm up in his boot sock. So now he's armed, but has not shown his card yet. So there's two guns on the plane. Sires is able to easily take the gun away from him, but not before getting like three other people shot in the process. And now,
how long have planes just you've been able to just lock the cockpit from inside?
I
so no one can get in unless the pilots.
I think it's always been like that, and then they reinforced it on 9/11 because they were able to batter it down with like
the food cart.
The food cart is how they got into the 9/11 planes.
Also, so are we firing a gun in an airtight fucking in-air fucking?
Oh yeah, well, you bet your sweet ass.
Okay, damn right, that's what we're doing.
This isn't United. This is Con Air. Well,
luckily, all those guys' fleshy brains caught in three bullets. So that was that's how it does. They start releasing all the inmates on the plane. Cyrus makes an announcement. Says, "Ladies, this is your captain speaking. Welcome to Con Air."
He says, "Ladies." And that's the little joke there to show his personality.
I see what he did.
Yeah.
Immediately, Johnny 23 starts talking about raping. Like, that's the next thing that happens. Right.
When do we rape?
There's one woman on the plane, and that's Guard Bishop. And he immediately talks about about the rape party that's going to start happening. Cage immediately has to step up and hits Treo with a sweet right cross, and he goes, "It ain't happening." And Cyrus agrees that, no, not here, not now.
By the way, they had time for rape. I think they could have squeezed it in.
I mean, this is what...
Oh! If you're not... By the way, how do you RSVP to a rape party? The only options are no and please no.
Well, it was either that or actually have to watch Fried Green Tomatoes on the plane. And
you not had again!
To make a choice. You had to make a choice.
I prefer that when John Malkovich said Con Air, he looks straight at the camera. Con Air!
Yeah!
What a nice.
Classic moment in the movie where you say the title of the movie in the movie.
The titular line.
That's the title. Oh my God, that's the title. Oh my God,
did you hear
that? I get it.
Oh my God, and we're only at the 30-minute mark.
No, we're 4 minutes in at this point.
I may not have been in the star of the film, but I had the titular line.
Yeah. Next,
man, I'm tired of all these damn Star Wars.
So next, after everything has been already settled down, this is when the DEA agent decides to make his move by taking Dave Chappelle hostage at gunpoint, which is like, this is your plan? First of all, they just shot three other inmates. You understand? With no regard. What makes you think this guy's going to care that you have him at all?
Yeah.
I just don't understand.
Worst plan. He totally choked.
Yeah.
Just wait it out, dude.
Yeah.
Wait till they land. And then they start taking people off, and you pull a gun, and you say they've captured the plane, and then you wait. But he was so early on that, and of course,
like it would have been more realistic if his voice was too high pitched, like everybody on the ground,
right.
Like he got nervous.
He totally botches it, and then a guy tries to attack him from the side. Dave gets loose, and then boom, he gets shot in the head by Cyrus. It was very easy to overcome this slight turbulence on Con Air,
right?
During this also, Poe has now endeared himself to Cyrus by kind of helping out with the DEA agent. Like, he kind of calmed him down and being like, "This isn't the move you want to make right now, fella," like that. So
very calming, soothing voice.
Yeah, that's a very,
but who cares,
very realistic Southern gentleman accent that really calms me down in moments like that. Now he's kind of endeared himself, though. So now he's got Cyrus's ear. When Poe talks, Cyrus is listening.
Oh, yeah.
The plan is that...
Do you realize when it comes to actors, there's like only two kinds of actors you prefer in a film? There's either the actor that acts like Elvis or the actor that acts like all the Beatles. So
I had not realized that.
Yeah. So I prefer all the Beatles versus somebody acting like Elvis.
Slow down,
film,
you're talking too fast. I'm trying to write this down.
There's sometimes you say the thing that I was exactly thinking, and that was one of them, Jeremy. That was going to be my next point.
And Nicolas Cage always plays Elvis, so...
Look at you. Kimberly Ambrose has snuck contraband food.
I know. I'm doing it all quiet. I feel all bad about my goldfish.
She just pulled out an entire bag.
I have acid
she's
in my
eating
stomach.
Her too.
Just like all the Beatles would.
Yeah, if I'm either of the two, I'm a Beatle.
Right. Ringo Starr snacking in the corner.
I don't know about you, but I'm against all this rape on this Con airplane.
Yeah. Malkovich then lays out his plan that they're making a stop in Carson City next to let off the three that are transferring and to pick up the next 11, which is, by the way, this is a horrible plan. Why have you done this? You needed everybody. Why didn't they wait to overtake the plane after we've already, like, you could have done this at any point, right?
Yes.
You needed to get the people at the next stop. Why did you take it over now? It makes no sense at all.
Can I say that this movie could have been a little bit better and they made a third stop and picked up Dr. Doom and Thanos.
Yes, and now it's the Infinity Wars. That's where we're going.
We're going to pick up the greatest monsters in all of the universe.
Flying to Wakanda.
I want
to
see the montage where they stop at Wawa and they all get their little items and they're fucking good now.
15 minutes.
Yeah.
Then Con Air is leaving with or without you. Get me a Gatorade Great Fierce.
He would get a fierce.
He would, because John Malkovich needs his electrolytes, let's be honest. The problem is, and that Dave Chappelle points out very comically, is that we got three people getting off. And problem is, it's these three dead motherfuckers right here. Yeah. So, yeah, the three people that need to get off the plane are all dead. And conveniently, three white people. So now they have to find
three
white
people. So much for their privilege.
Yeah. So they offer people to get off. And now we haven't mentioned that Baby O is having his own little problem. Nicolas Cage's boy. It's for some reason, during this, all the needles got destroyed for insulin. So he can't get his insulin. He's a diabetic. He needs to get off the plane. But they say, nope, needs to be a white guy. So he can't go. Nicolas Cage offers and then realizes when his buddy can't get off the plane, he has second thoughts. And now he wants to swap himself back out. He was just like, you know, I thought about it and I don't really want to go off. And he makes up some bullshit excuse. And of course, Cyrus likes him. So he goes and says, you know what? You can. Now, this is the fucked up part. They said Baby O couldn't get off the plane. One of the people that they choose is still just a different black guy.
I didn't even notice that.
It's so ridiculous. They're like, nope, we'll take this black guy. It's fine. We need Nicolas Cage.
So Cage chooses to save, basically he's protecting the life of his black friend versus meeting his daughter.
Is that, yes.
At every turn, he's just delaying meeting the daughter.
And he gives the worst excuse ever to somebody who's going to probably be in jail the rest of their life. He says, fear of freedom, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be in a pussy again? Are you fucking kidding me? You have a chance to get out right now.
He's a man of morals in a moral-less time, okay?
I can't.
Yeah, what's
the
guy in Shawshank, the old guy that hangs himself or whatever, was like 90 when he gets out?
But he didn't tell anyone that.
Right.
He just hung himself like a fucking man.
Yeah.
Cage has been in prison 7 years. Yeah. It's freedom. I'm terrified of it. It was 3 years ago. Whatever.
I have to relearn how to cross the street. I can't.
There's cars now?
I gotta say, Bubba, he needs his diabetic medicine.
Just the idea of getting on a commercial flight, he's like, the world's moved on so much, I just can't get off this plane now.
Brooks, that's the guy's name.
Yeah,
in Shawshank.
And he had crows as friends, and that was cool.
That was cool.
I liked him.
Good people.
I near soiled myself.
So, meanwhile,
this is the worst Shawshank sequel ever.
So meanwhile, they find plans. John Cusack's character goes back to the cell where Cyrus was and slowly chips away at the wall and finds there's a fake brick, and he finds basically the schematics of the plane, and he's just like, huh, I wonder what this could be. And they're sitting there looking around at it. This is all during while this landing in Carson City is happening. So they're looking at his stuff at a cell and realizing that Cyrus maybe has the jump on him. They still don't know that the plane has been hijacked, clearly. The new passengers they pick up are getting on there. They immediately, the new guy they pull on, immediately pulls out the transponder in the plane, the tracking device. Dave Chappelle goes out. He goes to go stick it in a different plane there. This is a... this is a crazy plan. Everything about this is just like, there's no way you plan this much. And you're, so they...
Yeah, they know that plane's schedule somehow.
Yeah, they know that this going. Is the next plane that's getting off. Right. I'm going to take the transponder, put it in this. Dave Chappelle flirts with a girl for like 5 minutes. Like, oh, hey, baby. He uses his goddamn charm to get out
because
of another situation.
A bunch of high security prison inmates would totally have the schedule for Big Bob's scenic plane tours.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I'll believe that.
But with no internet and they're... So, right. No, yeah. No reason. Way to check that.
So this whole the out of the 11 passengers, we get one transgendered man who gets yes. on, who is the stereotypical. I'm the Nancy in jail. Mm-hmm. They also They also pick up the drug cartel guy from mm-hmm. Cartagena.
That's mm-hmm. the key Dino. Person. That's why the person they have to get that person. Yes.
So he was an important person to pick up, and they also get another prisoner. Garland Green, played by Steve Buscemi, who butchered 30 people up and down the Eastern Seaboard.
It's their Hannibal Lecter. They do the whole like straitjacket face thing, card him in on like a
this
whatever.
This is almost worse than Cyborg because all the names are like wrestler names: Garland Green, Cyrus the Virus. I mean,
Diamond Dog.
But I see Garland Green as more of like a lounge singer.
Yeah.
Garland Green, everybody.
Whoa. Welcome.
How about a little Sinatra?
Welcome to Shrimp Night here at the Ocean City Hyatt.
Yes.
Just happy to have your all smiling faces. White wine is on sale.
I love you.
Ladies,
just
drink free.
The way you are.
Ladies under 70, drink free.
G Square, Garland Green.
And by the way, every line John Malkovich has is written by a kid who was bullied in school. It's still a kid now. And like, that's all the lines they think they'd like later when they think back.
Right.
Like, and then I would have said this. Like when he's like, are you crazy? And he's like, according to my last diagnosis with my therapist, yeah, I am. Yes. Like, it's so
9-year
like
old Danny Charmless.
Yeah.
When I think back to when I was bullied in middle school, I would have said this just before I got the crap beaten out of myself.
So as all this transfer is going on, Cusack figures out that there's a code in the letter that's written that basically says meet in Carson City. He knows that they have control of the plane. He runs out. There's a box that says do not open. He literally sits there with four guys in that room. He goes, don't open that box. It's the last thing he says. He runs out. Not even... less than 5 seconds later after he says, hey, don't open this box that says do not open. And they're like, the second he leaves, he's like... What an idiot. I'm going to open this bomb. They immediately open up. It's a bomb and explodes all four of the people.
And honestly, in 1997, that probably was like, who would have thought of that?
Right. Oh,
in 2018,
God.
Everybody's like, see something, say something. Don't touch that fucking box.
I read the IMDb that John Cusack does not even like to mention this movie. Which is to say, it's like
his loss.
Which is to say, okay, you're in a great movie like about the Manhattan Project, and you're like a big ass A-list actor now, and it's like, well, welcome to the rest of your career. You make one or two great fucking movies, and the rest is shit. The rest of your career.
Yeah. See, but
even Robert De Niro makes shitty movies.
But
like
he doesn't have a choice because now the way things have turned out, everybody younger than maybe like 26 is like John Q. What? And then they're like, wait, you were in a movie with Dave Chappelle?
Exactly.
You know, like, you have to say you're in it. Like.
Yeah.
So is the point of the bomb to, I don't understand that. Is just to kill people?
Because
if they're trying to hide this evidence, then it's you would burn it or
evidence.
Something. You wouldn't leave it behind and a bomb. Why not just have no bomb and just destroy the evidence?
He's that much of a dick. That's just like, he's such a dick, he has to blow
he's
you
such
up.
Such a double parker.
It. Yeah.
Such a double parker.
That's so hilarious.
A DP. That's my favorite kind of porn. They just double park.
I see you double parked there. How about if I drop my pants?
It was funny. I was last night. I was out at a bachelor party, and there was somebody on the side of the road, and I was like, "Pick him up. We're packed, so we know obviously we can't." He was like, "It'd be great to pick that guy up." And as you're sitting there driving, you go, "So you go by the rules, you know, gas, grass, or ass?" And he goes, "Well, I ain't got any money, and I ain't got no grass." And he goes, and then as you're driving, you go, hold the wheel. I have trouble seeing during this part. And you go over and blow the guy as he's in the passenger seat. And that, my friends, is the ending to part one of Con Air. Yeah, we somehow did 2 hours worth of content on the movie Con Air. And frankly, I'm actually pretty proud of it. I got to the point where I could have just said, hey, give the fans what they want. Give them what they need. Give them the full 2 hours of Con Air. It's what I've been waiting for. Me, Nicolas Cage, as a Southern gentleman, ready to spew my mediocre acting talent all over you. But, yeah, I opted to just go ahead and make this 2 episodes. So you get a whole nother week with Rob Mayer next week as you get to hear the stunning conclusion of Con Air. You can find Kimberly Ambrose at Watch Me Doing This and Panic at the Deli on Instagram. The Second Saturday Shit Show is fucking free every second Saturday of the month at the Auto Bar. Definitely go and check that out. You can see all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Go on there, and you can also find all the upcoming shows for the Murder Mystery with Die Laughing Productions with the very funny Rob Mayer, who's on the show this week and next week. And hop on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star rating. We could really use it. Climb the rankings. Tell a friend. And God bless all of you. Keep masturbating to the pod.
It's funny because I actually slowed it down so it almost sounds legit. Like...